bow in prayer and seek the Lord's help as we come now to the preaching of His Word. Our gracious Father, we thank Thee for this precious Word that we've read together this morning. Thy Word is truth. And we pray now that as we come to consider this passage of Scripture, that through Thy Holy Spirit that Thou will open the eyes of our understanding, and we might behold the wondrous things that are in Thy Word. As we would contemplate and study these things, we ask for help from on high. Indeed, we would ask that the Spirit of God, who has penned these words, who has preserved them down through the years, may come now and be our teacher in the things of Christ, and that we might benefit and profit from our time together in the Word of God, that we might not simply be hearers of it, but that we might be doers. We pray, Father, again, that Thy Word be applied to our hearts, that we will find ourselves bowing in humble adoration before Thy throne, and we would be asking, as the Apostle Paul once asked, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? We pray for Thy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was reading through the chapter, 2 Kings chapter 6, I was reminded of a story that I heard of a man who went into a tool store to buy a chainsaw with which to cut down some trees. And the man behind the counter brought to his attention the top of the line model. And he says, this chainsaw will cut through 100 trees in a day. So the man made his purchase, went home and began to work on the trees that needed cut down. And after working on those trees for some hours, he had only cut through one tree, and he was rather disappointed with the chainsaw that he had purchased. And so the next day he returned to the store and explained to the storekeeper that he had used the chainsaw for hours and only managed to cut through one tree. And the store owner took the chainsaw in his hand and looked at it and examined it and said, it seems to be fine. They took it, held it and pulled the cord, and the chainsaw roared into life. And the man who bought the chainsaw said, What's that noise? The passage before us has another man who's chopping down some trees, only to lose his axe head. Now that seems to be a relatively small problem that he faced. He's chopping wood and the axe head comes loose, flies into the water and drops to the bed of the river. It's rather insignificant compared to many of the other miracles that Elisha performs, but I suspect that's for our encouragement, because it tells us that God is interested in the problems of everyday life as much as the problems that we face in the major events of life, and that the Lord is not unmindful or unconcerned about the things that we face from day to day. It's good to remind ourselves that our situation doesn't have to be a headline worthy before the Lord is interested enough to work on our behalf. And so we are reminded, even as we look at the story this morning, that we can call upon the Lord to help us at any time and in any situation, not just with the large problems that seem to destroy or to overthrow us. We're even inclined to call upon Him when the axe head goes missing beneath the water. In fact, the Apostle Paul reminds us in Philippians 4 and verse 6 that in everything by prayer let your requests be made known unto God. And that everything includes the little things as well as the great things. Now here in chapter 6 of 2 Kings, we are reminded that Elisha is in charge of the training of the young prophets for future ministry. And things seem to be going very well for the college, because there we're told in the verse 1 that the place where we dwell with these too straight or too small to contain us all. There's not enough room for everyone that wants to come. That's a nice problem for this Bible college to have. And so they decide that a new building will be required. And so the sons of the prophet undertake this task of building a bigger Bible college for them to attend. And that's something notable. And so the work is to be carried out by the sons of the prophets themselves. They're not going to hire contractors or bring in other builders. Every man himself is going to contribute to the work. And this work is what we read of here in chapter 6. One of the young men who's working there, he's chopping down trees, and his axe head comes loose and goes into the river. Now, if losing the axe head wasn't bad enough, his sorrow is compounded by the fact that the axe head is not even his own, but one, according to verse 5, that he has borrowed. And so he comes to Elisha and explains the problem. And Elisha asks him, "Where did you lose it? Come and show me." And he points out the place into which the axe head fell. And we're told that Elisha cuts down a stick, casts it into the river, and the iron axe head begins to float. And so it's with great joy that that young man reaches in, picks up the axe head, and no doubt secures it back into place, and goes about his service once again. Now, we may be wondering what there is in this story for us today, but I believe there's plenty for us to learn. You see, the axe head represents the young man's cutting power. It represents his power to get the job done. There's no point him taking the handle of the axe and trying to chop down trees. He'll never accomplish anything. It takes that sharp, biting power of the axe head to eat through the timber and to fell the tree. And you and I need to realize that without our cutting edge, and by that I mean the power of the Holy Spirit, we will never be able to serve the Lord properly. We'll never have a cutting influence on the world around us. We'll never make even so much as a dent in this world. We need the power of God to get the work done. And part of the problem that we face today in modern day Christianity is that we've become so tied to our traditions and our programs that for the most part we don't even realize that we have lost that cutting power. Is there any power in the things that we do in the church? Is there any power in the lives of the saints to make an influence on the world around us? Could it be that we're simply going through the motions, flailing away with the wooden handle, but not actually accomplishing very much for the cause of Christ? Because many of the things that we do can be done without the agency or without the power of the Holy Spirit. We get to the stage where we find ourselves operating without the Holy Spirit being at work. We have our programs, when we have our meetings, and we sing our hymns, and we make our prayers, and we preach our sermons. And we can do these things without the power of the Spirit of God being at work. And it will never accomplish anything. We're simply going through the motions. If we really want to be effective in our service for the Lord, then we need to be operating in the power of God Himself. We need the Spirit of God to be at work, taking the message of the gospel, applying it to the hearts of those who hear it, changing those hearts and drawing them to Christ. And so we want to take a few moments this morning and see how this situation was handled in Elisha's day, and to see if there are any lessons that we can apply to ourselves so that we might recover our cutting edge. So that's our message for this morning, how to recover our cutting edge. And so we want to give our attention for a few moments to this young man who was helped by the prophet Elisha. And the first thing that I point out to you about this young man is that he's extremely hardworking. He's hardworking. And he is committed to the work of God. Well, how do we know that? Well, the first thing we see about him is that he has enrolled in the school of the prophets. He's training for the ministry of God's word. He's left behind his previous life in order to give himself to the work of the gospel. And that's something commendable. And we should be praying for more and more of our young people to see the challenge of the work of God and to realize that this is something that I should be involved in. Far more than being worried about how they're going to make a living and what career path they're going to follow. We should be asking, how can I serve the Lord? What is there for me to do in the kingdom of the Savior? Well, here's a young man who's found a place of service. And he's preparing himself for future work in the work of the gospel. He's enrolled in the school of the prophets. And this school now has increased in size, and they're going to build a new building. And so when the project is suggested, he's very much in favor. He's part of the work team that's going to go and build a new school. There's no complaints from this young man. He doesn't mind having to roll up his sleeves and work and labor for the cause of the Lord. He sees the need. Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. It's too small. Now, let me fill you in on the background of these days. These are days of great apostasy in the land of Israel. Ahab has been upon the throne. Jezebel, his wife, has introduced the worship of Baal. The prophets of God are actually being martyred for their faith and their service. And there's wickedness that prevails throughout the land. And yet, God is at work. He's drawing these young men to the work of the gospel. He's preparing them for days of future service. When the Lord is planning to bless a nation, he'll raise up men to preach the gospel. There's a great warning in the word of God. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no one who will stand forth and preach the good news of Jesus Christ, that's an awful indictment upon the land by the Lord himself. Where there's no vision, where there's no gospel being preached, where there's no good news being shared, that's a terrible calamity to fall any land. But God is planning to bless because he's raised up men to preach the gospel. You should be praying for God to raise up preachers of his word, to go out into the streets and the highways and the byways and to preach Christ and him crucified and seek to establish new preaching places and build new churches. Here's a young man who sees the need. The facilities they have are too small, they need greater, and he's involved in that work. He's fully engaged. May we be like him and be willing to put the work and service of the Lord even beyond our own desires and before our own work, and to recognize that we have a part to play even within the local church, that there are those who are relying upon our ministry and our service, that we are in a position to help those who are ministering in the word through supporting other works and other missionary ventures, to recognize the need that there is in the Lord's work. That's what the Savior did with the disciples, you know. He told them of the harvest fields that were white and ready for harvest, and told them that laborers were few. And he instructed them to pray that the Lord would thrust out more workers into those harvest fields. Well, here we find the sons of the prophets enrolled in the school. They see the need of the hour, and they're willing to be involved and engaged in the work of the Lord. Not only are they willing to be involved in it, but they're willing to share the load. They say in verse 2, "Let us go, we pray thee." Let us go. They're willing to give of their time and their effort to meet the need. Let us go unto Jordan and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there. There's a wonderful text for any building program. Every man a beam. Everyone doing their share. Everyone coming together and pitching in and helping in order that the work might go forward. Not just leaving it to the one or the two, but every man a beam. There's an element of cost here, of sharing the cost, every man a beam. There's an element of sacrifice here, of every man contributing of his effort and his skill. Now, I suspect that there were some that were more capable of doing some jobs rather than others, but when everyone's involved, we find that all the work goes forward. And what a blessing it is to any church when the people in it see the need and are willing, like these young men here, to take a beam, to take an end and to help in the carrying and the labouring and the cutting and the building and the preparing in the work of the Lord. And this young man wants to be involved, but he has a problem. He doesn't have an axe. And so he seeks out from a friend an axe that he can use. He doesn't have the tools himself that are required for the work. But he doesn't allow that to serve as an excuse for doing nothing. He hunts around and he looks and he finds someone who has an axe that they're not using, and he asks to borrow it. And having borrowed this axe, he sets out with the rest to be engaged in the work. There's a great lesson for us here, to be hard working in the things of God, to consider no task beneath us when it comes to the work of the gospel. And if we don't have the necessary tools or skills, let us seek them out. And let us ask of God to give us the things that we need in order that we might serve him. There are very few that come to the Lord with all the skills and tools that they need in order to serve us. But the Lord provides us with the things that we need as we need them. So this is a hard-working young man. Another thing we can commend them for is that they seek out Elisha for his counsel. Look again at verse 2. "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." They bring their plans to Elisha. They look for his approval. And they're not going to proceed with this task until they get the green light from Elisha the prophet. And he gives it to them there at the end of verse 2. "Go ye." Now this would be the same as you and I going to the Word of God. Going there in prayer and seeking the wisdom to know what to do. Elisha is God's spokesman, his representative. The sons of the prophets go to him looking for his counsel. I'm reminded that it's important for you and I to recognize not only our need and be willing to do whatever we can to help to fulfill that need, but it's also important for us to seek the counsel of God from his word, to make sure that the need is being met according to God's way and according to his will. So they seek out Elisha, and they get his blessing upon the project. And better still, they ask for his company. One said in verse 3, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." It's a mark of their maturity that they want the company of the Lord's servant with them. They want to be with God's man. They want his help and his assistance. And no doubt, Elisha's company will bring many benefits to their building project, as we will see in a moment or two. So this is a hard-working young man. What else can we say about him? Well, according to verse 5, he was hindered in his work. As one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. He's swinging away with the axe on a word that the head has come loose. And as he swings one more time, the axe head comes off and falls into a river. And his work comes to an abrupt end. Now, if the axe head had simply fallen off onto the ground at his feet, that wouldn't have caused much of a problem at all. But it has fallen into the River Jordan and had sunk beneath the surface. And the axe head is now lost to him. And he has no way with which to continue his work. So the first thing we notice, the axe head has worked itself loose. Now, many of the troubles that we face in this life come because, well, we don't take care. We're careless. We neglect our spiritual devotions, and we allow the things of our spiritual life to work themselves loose. And here's a young man who is engaged in a good work. He's putting forth plenty of effort. He's not been lazy, perhaps, while others are sitting by. He's faithfully at his place, doing the things that he should have been doing. But the axe head is lost. Sometimes we think that as long as we are in the right place, doing the right things, that we won't have any problems. We sometimes think that problems only come our way when we're engaged in something that we ought not to be engaged in, something wicked or sinful. Yet here's an incident that reminds us that even the very best of our work and the very best of our labors are not exempt from difficulties. In fact, you'll find that the more that you desire to do for the Lord, the more hindrance and the more opposition and the more difficulties that you will face, because the devil will see to that. He's always in the business of trying to hinder the work of God. And this young man is working away, but he has neglected to take care of the axe in his hand, to keep the axe head in place. And so it comes off and it falls into the river. He's lost his cutting edge. He has no sharpness now with which to do his work. And it's very easy for you and I to be so engaged in the business of the church and to give ourselves to the meetings and to attend everything that's going. But we have to be careful to maintain a good spiritual condition before the Lord. And we have tools that we must use. We have prayer, where we seek the Lord and his will and his purposes for our life. We have the scriptures that we read that instruct us and feed us in the good things of the Lord. We have our public and private testimony that we have to maintain in order that we might be an influence for good in society around us. And we must check and make sure that these things are sharp. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Make sure you're not coming loose. Make sure that your instrument of service for the Lord is in good working condition. Because to try and to labour for the Lord without prayer, or without meditating upon the things of the gospel, or without seeking the will of the Lord through the scriptures, without maintaining a holy life before the Lord, then we will ultimately feel we will lose our sharpness, the cutting edge will be gone, and we will find that there will be nothing that we can do or accomplish in the work of the Lord. It's possible for us to be hindered in our work. What else do we see about this young man? Not only was he hard-working and hindered then in his work, but we find also in verse 5 that he was honest. He doesn't try to disguise the fact that he's lost his power to operate as he had previously. He cried out, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed. I've lost my ability to do the work. I've lost my cutting power. I'm flailing here with the handle and nothing is being accomplished." Now, coming and speaking to Elisha means that he has to admit that he hadn't been taking care. He'd grown careless. He'd been neglectful. And perhaps we have to be honest with ourselves that we're not as sharp for the Lord as what we should be. But we need to be honest. Now, he could have pretended. He could have continued flailing away with the axe handle, and perhaps those at a distance wouldn't have noticed much of a difference. He still seems to be working away the same as always. And we may fool those that are at a distance from us, but we can't fool the Lord. Swing as we may, the shaft of the axe is never going to cut anything. And perhaps one of the hardest things for us to do is to take stock of what we're doing and how we're trying to do it, and to realize that perhaps things aren't as they ought to be. We've lost that cutting power. Of course, our problem is we always want everyone to think that we're doing well, that we are in need of nothing, that we are in control of all of our circumstances, when sometimes we need to be like this young man and just be honest and cry out, "I've lost it. I've lost my ability to do the work of God. I'm going through the motions, but nothing's happened. I've lost that cutting edge." We need to be honest with ourselves. "I don't have the fire for the things of God that I used to have. I'm not as close to the Lord as I used to be. I'm just going through the motions in my Christian life. I'm treading water, but I'm making no progress. I need the power of God operating through me in order to accomplish the things that He would ask me to do." And sometimes we need to be truthful about our condition. We need to come clean before the Lord and tell him what He already knows. That we have lost. You'll notice also he says in verse 5 that it was borrowed. We always work with borrowed power. The power to work and operate in the kingdom of God, to do service for Jesus our King, we always operate on borrowed power. It's not our own. Oh, the Lord gives gifts and talents and skills and abilities, but those things can never accomplish anything of any spiritual value. Nothing lasts. The Lord must use those skills and talents and abilities as they're given into His hand. But it's the Spirit of God that must work. It's the Spirit of God that brings challenge and conviction as the gospel is preached. It's the Spirit of God that must change the hearts of those who hear it of Christ and draw them to the Savior. That's not something we can do. We need the Spirit of God to work through us. We operate on borrowed power. And these sons of the prophets, they're not wealthy men. They have nothing to give. They're struggling to make ends meet. They're living in difficult times. They lack materially things that others take for granted. So poor is this young man. that he doesn't even have an axe with which to chop down some wood. He must borrow from one of his neighbours. In fact, the word that's translated borrowed there in verse 5 is actually much stronger. It doesn't just mean borrowed, it means begged. He had to go and beg in order to get this axe. And I think the lesson is clear. When we're working for the Lord as we should be, we're operating with borrowed power. The power to serve the Lord comes from above. And we must be careful then with the power that's entrusted to us. And the Lord Jesus was ascended before his disciples there in Acts chapter 1. They were told to go to Jerusalem and to wait for the power of the Spirit of God to come upon them. Now, we must be especially careful when it comes to the power that's entrusted to us. We must not grieve the Spirit or quench the Spirit. And we must certainly never take his operation for granted. And we should never ever get to the place where we think that we can operate without the power of God. He was honest. The power is gone. If we're going to serve the Lord, if we're going to see any results from our service at all, we need to realize that we are unable to do anything of lasting value by ourselves. We need the power of God working through us. Borrowed power. And he comes and he confesses that he's in need of help. And verse 6 tells us of the help that he gets. The man of God said, "Where fell it? Where did you lose the power?" He explains his predicament to Elisha. And what's interesting, we find that he's not rebuked or chastened for his tragedy. He's instructed by Elisha to point out the place where he lost the blade. And as soon as Elisha hears about the problem, he goes to the place where the axe head was lost. You know, there's a lesson there for us. Before we can recover the cutting power, we have to go to the place where it was lost. Maybe it was lost in our lack of prayer. Maybe we need to get back to the place of prayer and come seeking the Lord for his help. Maybe we've lost out with the Lord in our times of private devotion. Maybe 2020 has started, and for all of the good plans that you had to start a Bible reading program and to work your way through the scriptures this year, maybe even now, 2 weeks into this new year, you're already behind. Maybe we need to get back to the place where we lost the power in our time before the Lord and seeking his face and relying upon him. We need to uncover the reason why the power has been lost. Maybe it's because of sin that we've allowed into our life. And that sin has remained there unconfessed. And because of that, we've lost out with God. If we regard iniquity in our heart, we're told the Lord will not hear us. Maybe we've misplaced our priorities. Maybe we've allowed other things to encroach upon the time that we should be giving to the Lord. Maybe we're guilty of trusting in the arm of flesh rather than the power of God's Spirit. Examine yourself. Where did you lose the power? Where is it you've lost out with God? What is that thing that has come into your life that now stands as a barrier between you and the Savior? Perhaps we need to backtrack and go to the place where we first lost the axe. Where fell it? Where did you lose it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. Cut down a stick and he threw it into the water. And miraculously, the iron did swim. A miracle takes place. The iron axe head floats to the surface of the water. Now you and I are instructed to come to one greater than Elisha. We come to the Saviour himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we go to another tree, to the tree of Calvary. What's interesting is the word that's translated stick here in verse 6 is also translated tree over 160 times in the Old Testament. It's a tree, cut down a tree, a bit of a tree. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 makes reference to a verse in Deuteronomy which speaks of Christ dying.